Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Great to be with you guys. Glad to have you here. It's nice and warm in here, right? Man, was it cold this week or what? There were so many noises, strange noises coming out of my attic that at one point my wife and I thought, do we have a raccoon in the attic? Why is it making so much noise? Everything creaks and whatnot, so that was wild. But it's good to be here together. It's nice and warm in here. And I want to welcome those who are watching with us, those online and at Classics and at our other campuses. Awesome to be together. So today we're going to continue in this series called Unlearned Wisdom. So if you have your Bibles or your devices, you can grab those and turn to chapter 4. I admit that when I first heard this series named Unlearned Wisdom, I didn't get it. I'm like, what does that mean? But what it means is that Solomon asked for wisdom. He was given the opportunity to ask for anything that he wanted, and what he asked for was wisdom. And so God gave it to him. But the challenge is that he didn't learn it himself. He conveyed it. We're going to study some of it today. He conveyed it. It's true, but he didn't apply it in his own life. So in that sense, it is unlearned wisdom. And the reality is that 4,000 years later, all of us sort of make that same mistake. We give out good advice and don't follow it ourselves, or we hear good advice and don't follow it ourselves. So we don't want to make the same trap or fall into the same trap that Solomon did in our lives. So chapter 4, beginning in verse 20, I love this passage. When David said, I want you to speak from chapter 4, I was so excited. Verse 23 is one of my anchor verses for my own personal life. So let's read it. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. So the key verse in this passage is verse 23. Keep your heart. Guard your heart with all vigilance. And then I think the other verses are just sort of wrapped around this key verse to kind of explain what this means and how to apply this. And so that's what I want to do in the next few minutes that we have. The reality is that the heart is the center of your life. Your heart, not your flesh and blood heart, but your soul, your inner being, your inner self that directs your life. Your heart is the center of your life. It's the center of your emotions and your thoughts. It's the decision-making center of your life. It shapes what happens in your life. It shapes your actions and your direction and even your character. So your heart, your inner sense, can be aligned with God, which is the goal of each of us as Christ followers, or it can be turned from God. It can be aligned with the world or other values or desires or pursuits. And so verse 23 comes in as this incredibly forceful statement, guard your heart with vigilance so that it can direct your life toward God. Now, you've probably heard preachers from one time to another talk about the human body and how the genius of the human body is a proof that there is a God. And I agree completely with that. There's infinite genius in the way God designed our bodies. But your inner self, your heart, is a masterpiece. It is a masterpiece of God's wisdom and infinite knowledge. And if we're honest, we spend our whole lives trying to align our heart with God's will. We want to follow God's will. We want to do what God wants us to do. We want our hearts to be aligned with God. But it's easier to say that than it is to do that. because there's sin in the world. There's sin in our own lives. And so we spend our whole lives trying to align our hearts with God. And it's so important because the heart is where we meet with God. The heart is where we commune with God. The heart is where God begins in his journey with us. He redeems our heart when we give our lives to Christ. And so the core of your heart is really important. Let's dig a little bit deeper. The core of your heart is who you are. It's who you are. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, here's what it says. It says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. Good thoughts, good desires, a good life. And the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, a life is lived. The nature of our life, the trajectory of our life, where we're aimed and pointed, is determined by the condition of our heart. The Bible says that the heart is the wellspring of life. Like our heart is a wellspring that is giving in definition and direction to our lives. It influences everything about us. The heart is also a compass in our lives. The heart doesn't just reflect who you are, it directs who you are. Your actions and decisions and every other aspect of your being, all of your choices and motivations and intentions, all those things begin in your heart. It sets the direction of your life. And you and I don't need to be reminded that there are a lot of people in this world that have neglected their heart. They've allowed their heart to become corrupt or dark or misled so that the fruit of their life is only pain and brokenness. Your life has a compass, and that compass is your heart. And so today I want to spend a little bit of time here in the middle just talking about why your heart matters so much. It matters because your heart shapes your future. As I said, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said the same thing. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if you took that statement that's so important and you flipped it around another way, it says, what's in your heart, that will be your treasure. That will be your treasure. What you value most, what you treasure, determines the direction of your life. Your heart shapes your future. So if your heart is set on earthly things or temporary things or sinful things, your life is going to be aimed at earthly things and temporary things and sinful things. Your life will follow your heart, which is why guarding it is so important. If I look at my heart, I can see where my life is heading. It's setting a direction for me. It may be heading toward God, or it may be heading away from God. It's so important. Let's think about this as a tree analogy. I mean, for a tree, the most important thing is the roots, right? Are the roots healthy? Are there nutrients? Is there sun? Is there water? So that the soil can create a good environment for roots to grow strong and to bear branches and leaves and fruit. But if the roots are starved of nutrients or water or sun, then the tree begins to wither and die. A few summers ago, I had a tree service come to my house and cut down a big tree in my backyard. I felt guilty cutting this tree down because it was huge. It seemed as healthy as could be. Roots, you know, kind of went all over the yard, like dozens of feet away. But after about the third branch of this tree fell on my roof, I just knew it's time for that tree to go. So I had them come and take it down. But interestingly enough, the root system in the ground, I mean, you can't take that out. That's crazy how those roots go for so long and so big and strong. The roots were still healthy. And so the last couple summers, I mean, those roots are still putting up little saplings and trying to grow another tree. And so the roots were still strong. under the surface. And so think about your heart in that way. Your heart is the root system that needs to build healthy, strong lives around faith and godliness and values and good decisions. Your roots can sustain you no matter what's happening on the surface. No matter what comes in your life, the roots can cause you to be stable and sustain you. A good heart will shape a good future, especially over time. And that's really what is being said in Psalm chapter 1. I'm sure you've heard this before. It says, you will be, if you have a good root system, you will be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that it does prospers. Psalm chapter 1. The second reason that your heart matters so much is because you're responsible for its care. That makes it important. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That statement is an imperative statement, meaning you have to do this. No one else is going to do this. You can't delegate it to someone else. You have to guard your heart. You and I are responsible for the condition of our heart. There's a fable in a book that I really, really like. The book is called Soul Keeping, and it's written by John Ortberg. And let me read it for you as it illustrates what we're talking about. It says, there was once a small village in a rural area that relied on a stream for its life and vitality. High in the mountains, a keeper of the stream diligently tended to its source, removing debris, leaves, and silt that could clog the flow. Because of the keeper's work, the town below had clean and pure drinking water, a beautiful ecosystem, and a picturesque area that just drew visitors and guests in. The villagers rarely saw the keeper, but they certainly appreciated the appearance, the life-giving presence of this stream. Over time, the village leaders decided that the keeper's work was unnecessary and cut funding for his position. And without a keeper's care, the stream became clogged and polluted. The once vibrant village began to suffer. Water turned foul and dark. Fish died, and the beauty of the area faded. Eventually, the villagers realized the importance of the keeper's role, and they reinstated him. And as he resumed his work, the stream was restored and the village flourished once again. I love that little story. It illustrates the importance of tending our heart. Our heart is that stream, and we are its keeper. See, the heart shapes the health and vitality of our lives. And so guarding it and nurturing it is a personal responsibility that you and I bear. And if we neglect it, like in the fable, there are consequences. There's another reason that our heart matters so much, and it's this. Your heart is more fragile than you think. Your heart's more fragile than you think. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And so just like that stream in the story, our lives, our hearts can be easily fractured or bruised or corrupted or stained and unable to produce any good. The things that we sow and allow into our heart can determine the condition of our heart and therefore determine the direction of our lives. Your heart is more fragile than you think. So we ask ourselves the question, what does it look like? What am I sowing into my heart? What am I allowing in? Well, being here in worship is a great step in sowing good seed in your heart. As you're here today, you had the opportunity to worship God, to experience his joy and love and to give him, show him your affection. You're having the opportunity to look into God's truth and allow that truth to guide and direct your lives and give you wisdom. You're with one another. You're experiencing the joy of being together in community and the kindness that flows from that. Yesterday in this room, we had a funeral, and I was there for the funeral, and one of the members of the immediate family came up to me after the funeral was all over and said, you know, when I walked into this building, I felt something. I just felt something different. And she went on to say, if I lived anywhere close to this church, I would be coming here. And it was good to hear that, because when she comes in the building, and we hear this from other people too, when they come in the building, they feel that sense of good seed that has been sown in this space. Good people sowing good seed into their lives that outlasts their physical presence in the room. People sense it. It was awesome to hear that. If we're honest, isn't it easy to spend so much time with things that corrupt our hearts or lead our hearts astray or distract our hearts? And so I want to caution you. This is just one of those really, really authentic areas that we need to wrestle with. What's happening in our heart? Because the truth is, we can believe the lie that we can hide what's in our heart, that we can hide it from our most beloved relationships, that we can somehow hide it from God, that somehow it is hidden away and people can't see it. We can live a life that is fake. We can put on masks that look much differently than the internal being that we are. Now, the good news is God can redeem that. When we become honest with God about what's happening in our heart and we ask God, help me to turn from this, God can redeem our hearts. But it takes soul work, because the reality is God knows. God has a front row seat in seeing what's happening in our hearts. And that in itself makes the heart so important to us. God sees it all. God sees it all. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Everything that's on the inside is on display to God. That's a sobering thought for me. And I hope it's a sobering thought for you. Jeremiah 17, verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. You see, our heart is where we have communion with God. God searches our heart. God meets us in our heart. Our heart is the place where we meet God. Ephesians 3:17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. See, Christ dwells in our inner being through faith. That makes our heart sacred. That makes it important and special. Our heart is the place where we hear him. We hear God within our hearts. Hebrews 3:7-8 says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, meaning that you'll hear God's still small voice in the quiet of your heart. That makes it sacred and special. And then lastly, it's where we're moved by God. It's where God moves us. In Luke 24, these two disciples, after the resurrection, are walking down the road and they say to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, referring to Jesus, when he, Jesus, opened to us the scriptures? Did our heart not burn within us? I mean, I would suggest that all of us who have followed Christ for any length of time have had that experience where Christ, Something's burning, being moved in our hearts. We know that God is moving us. Our heart is sacred. It's important. That's where God moves us. God searches the heart and tests the mind. I was talking to somebody early this week who said to me or mentioned to me that they are going to have to perhaps have their gallbladder removed. He was going this week to have an MRI. And you know what an MRI is, if you've never had one before, you kind of lay on this table, and this table takes you into this tube, this very, very high-tech tube, and you have to lay there just like absolutely quiet and silenced and immobile for however long they say. And I know my 15 minutes seemed like an hour, but it's incredible that this tube is looking at you from every conceivable direction, 360 degrees. It's getting an incredible image of what's happening on the inside of you. Now, I know this because I had my gallbladder removed a few years ago. And after the surgery, it was amazing to me how many people came up to me and said, "Oh, yeah, I've had my gallbladder out too." I mean, evidently, gallbladders are about as necessary to us as an Ohio State punter was Monday night when they were playing Notre Dame. Didn't need him. 5 possessions and 5 scores. So, my apologies if you're not an Ohio State fan. During my follow-up visit with this surgeon, she said with the most casual tone, "Oh, and while I was in there, I took a look around at the other organs and everything looked good." There was something that struck me as funny about that. It's like she's rummaging around inside of me looking for an orphan sock or something. Like, just pull the intestine out and see, is it here? It was funny. I did derive some comfort in her saying that, though. I'm glad she looked around and everything looked good. But here's the point. God's gaze into our heart is far more penetrating than any MRI. He sees it all, and yet he loves us. He sees everything in our heart. He sees our motives, our desires, our struggles, and yet he loves us. Nothing is hidden from his sight. He sees your heart. So I want to spend the remainder of the time we have together just considering ways that we can guard our heart, how to guard our heart. The first way that I want to talk about is tuning in to the right voices. We have to tune our lives to the right voices. Verse 20 says, "My son, be attentive. Tune in to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh." So be attentive to God's word. Keep his words in front of you. Hide his words within you because his words are life and healing to you. You see, it's amazing on any given day how many voices are just coming at us. They're just coming at us. You know, they say that we encounter literally 6,000 advertisements a day. And I don't know, it doesn't feel to me like I encounter that many. But when I stop and think about every little advertisement that I see or perceive or hear, it's a lot. Notifications pop up on our phones 150 times a day. You do realize that that's a setting that you can turn that off. We stop what we're doing and pick up our phone an average of 200 times a day. It's amazing. So much noise, so many voices. Are we listening to the right voices? Because what we hear shapes who we are on the inside and shapes how we will live our lives. So recently, I've been rubbing castor oil on my belly button. Every morning, you know, I lay down on a couch and pour a little castor oil into my belly button area and just rub that around. See, the idea is that that castor oil seeps in, and A, it helps you to lose weight, and B, it affects your internal organs in a positive way, and C is it just gives you the smoothest, softest belly button ever. So I've been doing that. Even though there is no scientific evidence to back the thing up, doctors have stated emphatically that pouring castor oil on your belly button does not affect your internal organs or your metabolism at all. And yet, if you look out on the internet, on social media, people are doing that. People are doing it. And I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. My wife would think I've lost my mind. What we listen to has a direct impact on our hearts and our minds. And the Bible's filled with examples. Adam and Eve listened to the serpent and literally died. Aaron listened to the Israelites and made them a golden calf. Samson listened to Delilah and ended up giving his life away. Herod listened to his stepdaughter and beheaded John the Baptist. Pilate listened to the crowd and had Jesus crucified. So do the voices being sown into your heart, do they represent biblical values? Do they represent who you want to be and the direction you want to go? Because little by little, those voices are causing us to drift away. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." And I used to think that was just, you know, the people you run around with corrupt good morals. But this is a new day. Voices come from so many electronic directions that it ruins our hearts if we let it. Bad company, bad advice, bad voices. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there be any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about those things." Right? That everything that comes from God is a voice worth listening to. We can guard our hearts by tuning in the right voices and tuning out the rest. The second way that we can guard our heart is to speak life, not harm. Proverbs 4:24, "Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you." See, crooked speech is talking about things that are wrong or corrupt or foolish, a falsehood or a lie, or something that causes harm or causes a person to turn away from the truth. Your words have incredible power for good or for evil. So choose to speak in a way that builds others up, because that's how God speaks to you. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." For many years, Kay and I led a mid-sized group here at Fairhaven called After I Do. We loved leading that group. It was a group that was intended to help young couples, young newlyweds, to find one another because they've got a new marriage and probably, you know, he's got friends, she's got friends. Put them together and let them make new friends, and it worked. I mean, I had someone come up to me after the last service and say, "You're right, I'm still connected to those people that were in After I Do many, many years later." One of the things we would talk about with After I Do was something called love busters. Things that will bust your love, the tender, fragile love that a young couple brings into a marriage. So we talked about angry outbursts. We talked about harsh words. And you know what I mean, right? Angry words that are critical or disrespectful, angry words that show annoyance or displeasure. We talked about how those kinds of words, sometimes even though in our family of origin, that's what we saw, how those words will explode a marriage. We can guard our heart by speaking words of life and grace and good to one another, not words of harm. Thirdly, guard your heart by focusing on what really matters. verse 25 says, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. It's so easy for us to lose focus on God, to become distracted or distant or even lukewarm, the Bible calls it. One of the prayers that I've been praying almost every day for quite a while now is Psalm 119, verse 37. It says, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. So I would ask you today, what are the worthless things that you need to turn away from? Things that draw you into time-wasting distractions. I know what they are for me, and I bet you know what they are for you. You know, for a few months now, we've been talking about the essentials. Katie even mentioned making God known. Think about those essentials. We talk about they're essential for embodying the hope of Jesus, the life of God. Six of them: seek God daily, build deep relationships, live generously, serve others, make God known, and worship God. If we practice those six essentials, they themselves will largely guard our heart and keep you from losing your focus. Are we giving attention to the wrong things? Well, the last in the list that the writer of Proverbs is sharing with us is to walk in the right path. If you look at verse 26 and 27, it says, ponder the path of your feet. We don't use that word very often, ponder. Consider, meditate on, ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. So for us today, have we allowed our heart to grow distant and disconnected from God? What is the path that we're walking? Proverbs 1, verse 15 and 16 says, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, those who would distract you, those who would corrupt your heart, those who would lead you in the wrong direction. Proverbs 16, verse 17 says, the highway of the upright turns aside from evil. Whoever guards his way preserves his path. So all those verses just give greater weight to the word ponder. Ponder your path. Are you comfortable where it's leading you? So I love my grandkids. David talks about his grandkids. I could talk about mine. We've got three of them that live really close to us. And so they come over quite often for little sleepovers. And one of the things they love to do when they come to Grandma and Grandpa's house is to play flashlight tag. And so late at night, when it gets dark outside, we turn off every light in the house. I mean, it's pitch dark in the house. We divide it up into two teams. Obviously, Kay's always on one team and I'm on the other team. And we give each team a flashlight. So we take turns. One team has to hide and the other team has to seek. And it's just so much fun. Even though our house is kind of smallish and there's not that many rooms or many places to hide, they love this game. I mean, they want to play it every time they sleep over. Even though they're getting a little bit too old for that game, they love it. They giggle all the time. Even, you know, when they're hiding, their giggling gives away where they are. Well, one time I got under our 10-foot-long dining room table, and I realized if I put myself up and sit on the seats of the chairs around the table with the tablecloth draped over, they will never find me. And so I got under there, I climbed up, and sure enough, they could not find me. Finally, you know, they kept hollering for me, and I finally had to come out and give myself up. But in that moment, I became a legend of flashlight tag. 99 times out of 100, you could only find people if you had the flashlight. Without the flashlight, the game wouldn't have worked. It would have been too dark to ever find anybody. We'd just be wandering around in the dark. Well, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So when we ask ourselves the question, are we on the right path? Is our path leading to blessing, or is it leading to pain or brokenness? Are we wandering around in the dark without a flashlight, without a lamp for our feet? Guard your heart by pondering your path. So in closing, I just want to challenge you to three things. Number one, deeply engage with God's word. You see through the message how often the word of God becomes critical for us being the people we want to be and walking the direction, the path that we want to walk. So engage with God's word. Read it, but memorize it. Commit a verse, commit a passage to memory and use it. Rehearse it to yourself. Share it with someone else. Secondly, cut out one harmful influence. There may be many, but cut one out. One that you don't want that voice in your life, and replace it with something different, a godly voice, something that builds your faith. And then lastly, be intentional with your words. Speak life to the people around you. Words of encouragement and grace and kindness. Speak life. If you do those three things will have a huge impact on your heart, who the person you are and the path that you're walking. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it gives us wisdom. It gives us such insight into our lives and even our own hearts. We can't see our heart. We can only see the fruit of our heart. And so allow us to know our own condition of our heart and to protect it, to guard it against all kinds of evil. Our world is filled with it. So give us grace to guard our hearts. Help us to do these three things this week and see how they change who we are. See if, in fact, we don't experience better things. We don't feel better about ourselves. We thank you for your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.